You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good Friday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek coming to you from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings, and I'm usually in Norman, Oklahoma, but right now I'm in Solvang, California at Flag Is Up Farm, also known as the California Horse Center. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Friday, June 26th, episode 3982, brought to you today by Kentucky Performance Products. Please forgive my sound. I'm doing the best I can in Pat Roberts' office. So good morning, people.
You actually sound fine. You do sound fine. There's no problem.
Okay, good. I mean, so it's, you know, when things are different, it's like, you know, we fear change. So, yeah.
Well, we had such a good technology morning on Monday. So, And then yesterday we had multiple storms that knocked our power out a couple times, and I've got another one brewing right behind the house. So,
fun.
We'll see if we make it all the way through the episode. Hey, we have one of our auditors stopping by, Meta, who's going to stop by and chat about how Tears got her a rescue horse.
That's my girl.
Jamie, I think we tried. Did you go horse shopping like you said you were going to yesterday in California?
I guess you'll find out in a minute.
All right, good. And then we have some really bad ads. There's going to be no post show because Jamie's out there for the movement and they put her to work. So she has to go work. Yeah. And she'll be doing that immediately after we record, I think. So Gracie's still missing. I have to correct something we said on Wednesday morning when Ashley and I were here, that Gracie the giraffe, remember there was these reports Gracie the giraffe had been spotted and found. Well, Gracie the giraffe is still missing. It must be some rugged damn country there in Texas to lose a giraffe.
I was going to say, how does one lose a giraffe in anywhere?
Well, this is an enormous ranch, and apparently it's one of those ranches that has all kinds of animals from Africa and stuff. And he had just bought this giraffe about 6 months ago. And what it did is it climbed these rocks, and then when it got down off the rocks, it was on the other side of the fence. So he found himself on the wrong side of the fence. And apparently the giraffes never even go to the area that he got lost in. So there's a $5,000 reward. They've had helicopters and drones flying nonstop. And the owner said, I don't know. We just seem to be behind it a bit all the time. So this giraffe's on the move. You might see it in Oklahoma soon, you know? It might
be. Come on up, baby.
So obviously you've seen a ton of the AI generated photos of the giraffe showing up at various places around the world. This morning I posted in the auditor room, baby Gracie was joining us in the studio. So
okay. I saw that, and obviously I was not here Wednesday, and I really was not up to date on the whole giraffe missing thing, and I found it very confusing why you would have a picture of us with a giraffe.
That's why.
Okay.
That was baby Gracie. And by the way, AI made baby Gracie look damn cute, and I want a baby Gracie now.
I'm telling you.
It's really cute. But anyway, Gracie's still missing. Hopefully by Monday, we'll have a good report. I don't think nobody stole Gracie. How would you steal a giraffe? I mean, they kind of stick out, right?
A giraffe missing seems incredibly strange. Now, I did just Google where Leakey, Texas is, and it looks like pretty rugged, like wilderness area. But again, I was on Google Maps. So
I think it is. And I think that's part of the problem they're having. But, you know, if it should be easier to find than a stray goat, right? I mean, should be, I would think.
You would think.
All right. Daily Winnie time. Okay, can I do a disclaimer here before I play the birthday song? So we had a long version of the birthday song. And do you remember we got complaints about people saying it was too long? Yeah. So I cut it back a bit. Now there's all kinds of complaining about it being too short. So I don't know where to go with this. Anyway, this is the version we have right now.
From the podcast to the barn, here's some hidden birthday wishes to keep you warm.
Well, happy birthday to Mina M, Brooklyn S, Jill E, Kelly J, host Kat of the Quarter Horse Show. It's her birthday as well. And our friend John Kyle. I wonder if he's back to work yet or still recuperating from his accident. I don't know. We'll have to find out. I'll have to ask John. But those are birthdays for the weekend. We hope you have a wonderful time.
Well, it was we're due, Glenn. We're due. I would like you to remember that we are racehorse owners, okay? And yesterday our horse ran in a race. And do you know how legit it is when I'm sitting in the kitchen of Monty and Pat Roberts and I'm like, "Oh, my racehorse won today." Like, "What?" I'm like, "Yes. My racehorse won today. That's right. Caldera. He ran yesterday and he did fantastic and he won his whole race. And it was, he actually ended up setting a track record at that distance."
Oh, really?
At Colonial Downs.
It was one mile, right? I think it was a mile.
I
believe it was
a
mile. Yeah, what I read. And then, but I didn't know he set the track record. Well, good for him. Yeah. Did he win by a margin or I didn't see the race?
Well, you know what? I wanted to replay it, but you said we're not allowed to replay it. So I Googled the summary of the race. And I mean, I'm not at home, so I can't get too excited because I don't want these people that live here to think I'm crazy. But I can summarize it this way. Okay, this is what the internet told me. Caldera broke well, quickly settled into a comfortable stalking position around the far turn. His jockey asked him to advance, and Caldera responded powerfully, taking command. He opened up in the stretch and won impressively, drawing away from the field with plenty left. The performance was widely praised by my racehorse and racing fans as an exciting return to the races.
And all 1,000 of Caldera's owners were very happy, too.
I think it's more than 1,000.
Is it? I didn't know how many it was, actually. I looked at my account this morning to see how rich we were, because all I have is Caldera. So yours doesn't count because you have so many horses, right? So we can't really tell by yours. But I can tell by mine. And we are now up. We're now up to $11 in my account.
Oh my gosh, congrats. And you haven't cashed out at all. So this is from the beginning.
I'm leaving it in there because, you know, I really don't know what I'd do with the $11. So I'm going to leave it in there and we're going to see how much this one horse makes us and us and 50 of our listeners too. So
listen, I own a few horses and I would like to tell you that your numbers are low. I have at least $44 in my account, so you need to catch up.
And how much have you spent buying the racehorses?
It's not important. What is important is that I could be sitting in Pat and Monty Roberts' kitchen and tell them my racehorse won today. And then I'm like, oh, well, this is the horse with Sappy Joseph. My horse with Chad Brown doesn't run quite yet. And then I have a couple horses with Todd Pletcher. I mean, seriously, it doesn't matter if they win. I own, and then they're like, "How do you own a racehorse?" I'm like, "Oh, it's an organization, my racehorse." They were like, "Oh, yeah. Okay."
Discounted that. Speaking of racehorses and all that, you were out shopping for horses yesterday. You arrived early. Did you go to the place where you got the last one? Is that where you went?
Okay, so the plan was to go to where I got Amigo was Bakersfield, California. And the plan was to go look at a gelding in, because I was like, I'm coming to California anyway. I have a friend who's looking for a Spanish horse. And so I was going to go to, I set up an appointment with the broker to go to Fresno to see one gelding. And I was already kind of like, I don't know if I want to go, like, because it's going to be a lot for me to like rent a car in Fresno and then drive it and return it one way. I was like, this is going to be expensive. But Chad decided he would go with me. Oh. I was like, I think he was more concerned about my safety than anything. So we got on the plane on Wednesday morning and we were flying from Oklahoma City to Dallas and then Dallas to Fresno. And so we went from Oklahoma City down to Dallas and then had probably about 45 minutes until our Fresno flight. And we got to the Fresno flight and they were like, "Sorry, it's full." I was like, "What?" They said it's full. I mean, of course, Chad can fly because they'll let
Fresno.
There's like five flights. I think what happened was there was a flight that was canceled, and so all of the all overbooked. Now, of course, they're like, he can come because Chad can sit in the cockpit and fly, you know.
Right.
But they won't let me do that. It's annoying. So we ended up. I said, I looked at the phone. This is all part of the fun of traveling like this. Is I looked at the phone and I was like, there's a flight with some open seats to Santa Barbara in an hour. You want to just go to the farm with me? Because he was going to fly out of Fresno. And he was like, okay. So it was so cool. I ended up bringing Chad with me to flag us up. And so
we stayed the whole weekend?
No, he left already. Oh. Okay.
Gonna no, watch he, that horse stuff for a weekend.
That whole work thing. So yeah. he has to like work and stuff. It's annoying. But he had a day off, so he flew up here with me, stayed one night and left. And I realized he hasn't been here in probably eight or 9 years. Mm. So my first course was in 2015 here, and he came with me in 2015 for like a couple days and then left. And I think he's maybe come back one more time since then. But it was so cool to show him around. And, you know, we drove up to Monty's house and there's all the deer that are out front because Monty feeds deer because why wouldn't he? And so there's all these deer in the front yard and there's probably $5. And my husband was like, oh, my God, people go their whole lives looking for these deer this big. And I was like, don't even don't even think about it. So it was really fun to show him around the farm and get to show him all the different places we go. And then he left yesterday. And then now we get started today with the movement.
So you didn't go horse shopping?
So I did not go horse shopping. I had to call the broker. I had to text him. Because I told him I was flying standby. So we'll see what happens. So I called him and I was like, listen, I'm going to have to reschedule. And hopefully the next time I reschedule, they'll have more than one horse for me to look at. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, that does kind of make sense, actually. Yeah, so I wonder if it's going to be harder to get standby flights the more and more of these airlines are canceling flights to fill, you know, to reduce the number of flights. I wonder if that's going to get harder for you over time.
There's one person that directly affects, and that is me.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Because the more they cancel flights to fill the others, there's no room for you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's kind of annoying. So, but it'll be fine. It's going to be fine. Everything's going to be fine.
I didn't know there were extra seats in the cockpit.
They have some planes have one seat and some have two, and they're jump seats and they fold into the wall.
Oh, that must be comfortable for long distance.
Oh, God. He's like, sit on the edge of like a table against the wall. Like, take half a chair and put it up against the wall. It's like straight up. This
no reclining.
Thing pops down. No. So they don't love it, but this is how pilots commute, you know, a lot of times. So that's what they have to do. So it is what it is. But yeah, so he was here with me. He left. I didn't get to go see the horse. So no shopping. And we have a racehorse that won. I mean, what else do you want?
I know. It's a perfect Friday. We're doing good so far. Let's hear from U.S. Rider, and then we're going to come back and hear Meta's story.
U.S. Rider diesel savings powered by Open Roads can save you up to 50 cents per gallon at major gas stations nationwide. High mileage drivers? That could be more than $700 a year back in your pocket. Sign up free at myopenroads.com/USRider and get free priority processing as a gift from U.S. Rider.
Well, I am so excited to welcome one of our listeners, Meta Jeffries, to the show. Meta did something that, I mean, ladies, listen, this is next level. This is the way we all wish we would respond and could on command do what she did, which is Meta lives in Indiana and posted this Facebook post. And I'm going to read it, Meta, and then we'll get started here. But it says, we took cockerels to the auction and this only horse there went for $300. And I almost bid, but my husband, he stepped in and said no. And I was so mad, I left in tears. And Meta, I mean, congratulations on crying on command. I am so proud.
For sure.
So you paint the picture for us, and then we'll tell everybody how you ended up Well, I mean, clearly you got the horse. Otherwise, I wouldn't be this proud of you. But, like, walk me through it. Paint the picture, Meta.
Well, first picture is last fall, I lost my best mare. So that was tough. But fast forward, I haven't done much with horses since then. So fast forward, I have these little cockerels that I hatched out. And it's time to let them go because they're starting to crow. Mm-hmm. So I felt the best place to go was this little poultry auction. So we get there right before it starts. Little did I know we were going to be the last thing to sell. So as I'm waiting, I go to the back and I look around, which I normally don't do, but I did. Silly me. And there's a horse back there. I thought, well, this is just crazy. Why is a horse back here? Well, it's of course skinny, extremely. And no big deal. You know, I just kind of petted her and we tried to look at her teeth. We couldn't see her teeth. But, you know, I just went on about my business and went back to the sale. And the sale's lasting 5 hours, literally. It's
five
crazy.
5 hours of chickens?
It was nuts. Well, they kept bringing in other things too. And, okay. You know, and I was so frustrated and so angry. And I kept telling my husband, hey, let's just go get them and leave. Or let's just leave them and sell the crate. Because, you know, we were just going to wait for the crate, you know, wait for the cockerels to sell and just bring the crate home. And he's just looking at me. And he doesn't say anything. So, okay, I'm just going to have to wait here some more. Well, so also my back's sore. And I'd hurt my back the week before. And I'm sitting there on these hard wooden benches. 5 hours, I'm back and forth. And I try not to go look at this horse. And I kind of sort of had her out of my mind. So at some point, they start bringing in ponies. And then they bring this mare in. And, of course, they tell me, you know, she's 18. And, you know, she's a quarter horse. You know, all the things that, you know, they want people to know and people to think she's a great horse, but she's so skinny. And so the guy, the ring man, he's also leading her in and she's just so sad. I mean, I just couldn't believe it. She was so sad. So excuse me. I couldn't help myself. So I asked about her, you know, trying to build up the courage. Okay. Am I going to bid on her? Am I not going to bid on her? And I get stuck, you know, I wasn't sure what to do. And I'm, you know, I'd ask a couple questions about her. And, so I kind of turned my head and I was just, you know, I was just kind of thinking, and so, you know, they're waiting on me. Am I going to bid or not? And I said, you know, I didn't know. And that's why I kind of looked at my husband. I said, what do you think? And he's like, no, don't mess with it. And so I just kind of put my head down. I still hadn't, you know, told the ring man whether I was going to bid or not. And so they're looking at me and my husband steps in and he's like, no, we're not going to bid. So I just couldn't handle it. I was so emotional. I had to leave. I get up and I walked out and I was so definitely snot crying, like you said before. No. I so was. And I went to the man and I just sat there and I thought, I'm just going to leave him. I'm just going to go and leave him here. And he can sit here the rest of the night.
I'm leaving my husband.
Oh gosh. Yeah. I was so upset. So I sat there and 10 minutes later, he calls me and he says, where are you at? I says, I'm in the van. So he gets back to the van. And I'd bought some roses and he said, have you paid for your roses? And I said, no. He said, go pay for your roses and go pet your horse.
Oh my God.
So
that's how he did it. He said, go pay for your roses and go pay for your horse. Oh my God.
Go pet your horse. Yeah.
Oh, yep. I love it.
So did he buy
made it sound like,
did they sell it at the auction? Did he buy it at the auction? Or did he go behind the scenes and buy it from the person who bought it?
He went behind the scenes, but I think what really happened was the guy that runs the auction, I think he had possession of her, apparently. Mm. I found out before the auction. And so I really think he might have bought her back or not let her sell.
Yeah.
Thinking that she was going to go to a killer. And so my husband sort of knows the guy a little bit. So, went behind the scenes, I guess, after the fact and said, if you bring her, I'll pay you for.
There's a man who knew his life was going to suck for a long time.
Oh, my, right?
He really is. I mean, I made him sound terrible, but he really is the most supportive guy ever. He really is. So.
Obviously, but in that situation, it is, because I have been in that situation where you're sitting at that auction and you're like, I need to bid, but you have like literally 5 seconds to decide whether you want a 1,000-pound animal or in this case, a 600-pound animal.
Oh, right, by the way, you don't know what disease it has. And
you understated the skinny part. I mean, this horse is a 2 on the scale. I mean, we saw the pictures. That was about Scooter when we got him. So,
oh, Meta, I'm so proud of you. What is your husband's name?
Kevin.
Kevin, I love you so much, Kevin. I'm going to give you my husband's phone number.
Yeah, he really is the best. He's like, well, you know, if you can just hop on and ride her around, you know, it'll be good. So, because I don't really have one, I can just do that.
Well, you got her now, right? She's there. How's it going? Because this horse was skinny. You have to worry about what you feed it and all that stuff.
No, she doesn't have any top or front teeth. Oh. Like they're all wore down.
Okay.
She really, literally, the dentist was just here. And, but she's great. She's doing great. She's eating whatever I feed her. So she's doing fabulous. She's starting to pick up some weight. She looks so much better. Her eyes are bright. No sadness in her eyes anymore. Aww. Yeah. She's doing great. Yeah.
I will tell
you. It's just a matter of getting her acclimated.
Yeah. Looking at these pictures, you know, like you have the pictures of her I've seen with her grazing in your yard. And it is just so heartwarming to see this skinny, emaciated horse with like wounds all over it with a brand new shiny baby blue halter. I love it.
It matches her perfect.
I would have never guessed
this was a quarter horse from the pictures.
I don't know.
You wouldn't have been able to guess what it was from the pictures, to be honest.
That's for sure. Now, I don't know because I've tried to get the vets to give me a guess. And one says they would guess standard bred. The other said they would guess partially quarter horse. So maybe we have a cross. I don't know. But she does not have a lip tattoo.
Time for the DNA test. Love it. And check her for a microchip. Oh my God. You're going to spend $1 million on this $300 auction horse. I get it.
All three of us on this call have done this though. We've all done it.
I never had before. Here I am, Matt,
I will tell you that I can't come visit you because the good thing about my chicken auction that I go to, which I mean, the fact that we have our regular chicken auctions we go to is part of the Atlanta city girl in me that is like, that'll never happen. But now I have a chicken auction that I regularly attend. And the best thing about that is they don't sell any horses because I would roll home with these every time I went. So I commend you the fact that you've never even done this before and they sell horses there. But also like this is the reason we have horses because you lost your mare last fall and there has been a hole in your heart. And how wonderful it is that you can fill this hole in your heart with just helping another soul. You know, like you looked at this little mare who is toothless and skinny and at a $300 auction, you're like, I want that one. But that's so wonderful. And Kevin, nice job.
He's great. He did it right. He did good.
Oh, well,
it has been wonderful.
Have you fallen in love with this girl yet? Or
what's her name?
Getting to know each other phase. So
her name is Sage.
Oh, love it.
She's beautiful. She is. And she's got a little spunk to her. So we know that. She does walk, trot, canter on the lunge line. So we know that much. We just don't know. I haven't tried to saddle yet, so we're just going to wait and see.
Listen, you give her a month or two just to sit and eat and relax.
It should be extra spicy because that's what happens when they actually get food.
That's what I'm thinking. She's going to eat to the fact that she's super duper marish.
So you must be feeding her all kinds of wet food at this point, right? I mean,
she is eating it. Thank goodness, because my other old mare does not like sloppy feed, but she is eating sloppy feed. Okay. She's getting some oil and some some hay cubes. So yeah. And she's eating everything. She loves it. She loves food. So that's, oh, yeah, that's no a kidding.
Plus. Well, I'm super proud of you. I'm super excited for you. I just, please go give Sage a squeeze from us and give Kevin a squeeze from me in particular. I just love that he did that. What a guy.
Yeah, he's great. Thank you guys.
And thank you for listening all these years. We appreciate we feel like we know you too.
Great.
And I thought you've been on the show before, but apparently not. So
no.
So here's the first time in the 15 years you've been listening to us.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate your support too.
All right,
thank
no
you.
Problem. Take care.
Here's a barn hack you'll wish you knew sooner. You can kill flies before they even hatch. Fly predators are beneficial bugs that prey on fly pupae, killing flies before you ever see them. No more buzzing, biting, or endless stomping and swatting. They don't bother people or animals, but they do keep your barn, pasture, or paddock way more comfortable. Start early and enjoy fewer flies all season. Get yours now at spalding-labs.com.
Well, I want to remind everybody that there is a code for Spalding for your fly predators. It's HRN10 for 10% off your first order. That's right. It is time for This Day in Equine History. And on this day in 1441, an Italian scholar finalized a highly rare, beautifully illuminated translation of the Greek general Xenophon. Is it Xenophon? Is
that Xenophon. Yeah, Xenophon. Pretty close.
On Horsemanship was written around 350 BC. So this was the first time it was translated into a language anybody understood. This marked a massive turning point in European classical dressage, the reintroduction of Xenophon's gentle psychology-based training methods directly inspired the Renaissance riding academies of Naples and Vienna, replacing the brutal medieval horse breaking techniques that they used back then. So this was the first time it was actually illuminated and written into a language that we all understood. So,
I have always wanted to read that book. I wonder where I could find, you know what?
You could probably find the transcript online someplace.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, I'm sure you could. Well, on this day in 1535, to combat a severe shortage of high quality military war horses in England, King Henry VIII. I can't believe he had any time to do anything else. King Henry VIII passed the decree forcing all prominent nobles, archbishops, and wealthy landowners to maintain a strict minimum number of breeding mares. The law specifically criminalized the breeding of undersized horses, laying the earliest legal and regulatory groundwork for the development of large British draft and cavalry breeds. So for his army, he didn't want small horses, so he made a law that said you're not allowed to do that anymore. So again, I don't know how you had time to do anything.
So let me just get this straight. We've talked about a book written in 350 BC.
Yes.
We've been in 1441 and now 1535.
Yes.
How is any of this information even on the internet? How do you know? How do you know this stuff?
Everything's on the internet. There's articles on all of this. And on this day, we're going to come up in time to 1893.
Oh, well, just like yesterday.
William Buffalo Bill Cody. This is a fascinating story. Cemented his place in entertainment history. You know, World's Fairs were huge back then. If you don't know anything about World's Fairs, look them up. People would come from literally millions of visitors around the world to see a World's Fair. And there was a World's Fair that was being held in Chicago. And he went to the World's Fair and said, I want to do this Western show at the World's Fair. Because, you know, it's Buffalo Bill Cody. And they said, for 50% of the take, we'll do it. And he said, screw you people, I'm not doing that. So he and his business manager leased 14 acres of land literally outside the fair's main entrance. That was going had to walk by their setup. So he set up a massive collapsible amphitheater that seated 18 to 20,000 people. He opened his show in April, a month before the World's Fair even opened. And he knew this was a World's Fair. So he called it the Congress of Rough Riders of the World. And he brought in a whole bunch of cowboys and horsemen from around the world. He had Russian Cossacks, Syrian and Arab horsemen. He had vaqueros. He had gauchos. He had U.S. cavalry and European military units, Lakota and Cheyenne warriors, American cowboys. He had 1,200 performers for this twice a day. And hundreds of horses were in the arena at a time. And get this, by the time the summer ended, Buffalo Bill's show had completely overshadowed most of the fair. And he netted a profit of $1 million. And in today's money, that would be $37 million today.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. So.
Well, Bill Cody, come on.
So he did it right. And he was wise not to take the 50-50 offer, right?
Yeah.
Smart businessman, too.
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader. Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
Do you know who aren't good businessmen, Jamie? The people that post these ads. The people that post the ads we're going to do today that were submitted by listeners, either from Craigslist or Facebook. And we're just going to have a little bit of fun with them. We call this segment Really Bad Ads. Next week, we'll give away the box of crap. That is the prize for this month. So everybody that submitted this week will get it all the way up till next Friday. So get your ads into Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Michelle, Clark, Katie, Amy, Cynthia, Amanda, and Charlotte, ads have all been read. Unfortunately, we don't have time to get them all, but you are in for the prize. And we got some help this time. Shannon sent this one in, and if you read it yourself, you get two entries for the prizes.
Hey, this is Shannon calling from Northern Virginia with a really bad ad. That's actually a really good, funny, clever ad. Okay, it's in my local Virginia Facebook farm group thing. Okay, here we go. Selling a Polaris Ranger 500 4x4 because apparently I'm now making financial decisions like an adult, and I hate that for me. This little red wagon of questionable life choices has 1,051 miles, 4x4, roof, windshield, front brush guard, utility bed, and tires that still believe in themselves. It's perfect for the farm, hunting, land, job site, campground, hauling firewood, checking fence lines, or riding 300 feet to avoid walking like some kind of medieval peasant. It is not brand new. It has dirt, scratches, and personality. If you're looking for something spotless, go buy one from a dealership and let them financially mug you under the fluorescent lighting. Features, blah, blah, blah. It lists the features. And then it says, comes with enough usefulness to make your buddies ask to borrow it immediately. Ideal for farms, hunting property, blah, blah, blah. $6,000 or best offer. Cash talks. Low ballers will be ignored with the same energy banks use when you ask them for help. No trades for dirt bikes that just need a carb. Pit bulls, tattoo work, boats without trailers, trailers without titles, or anything involving the phrase ran when parked. And then he has in parentheses, may consider partial trades. So if anyone's looking for a good used Polaris, here you go. I thought it was pretty clever. All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
All right. The next one was sent in. Thank you for Shannon for reading that for us. We appreciate it. Lindsay sent this one in. This is Elvis, and he needs to leave the building. He does ride. He just goes where he wants. He is cute. He is six. I saw a horse try to lift him by the neck, probably to toss him out of the pasture, and he thought it was fun. He knows how to roll under your fencing. Oh, they're the best kind. And he can get everyone riled up and roll under the fence to watch the chaos unfold. His ideal person is an inmate in a high-security prison. Whoever buys him can't return him. He chases chickens, bites cows' udders, and dogs, and will only meet him once. Oh, and dogs will only meet him once. He is good for the farrier. Well, that's nice.
Now, what is I didn't know what Elvis was.
I think it's the little mini that's right in the picture. It's a little tiny mini. Minis are always named Elvis.
But how does he ride? What are you talking about?
I don't know.
He's like four hands tall.
I don't know.
Wow, that's impressive. Okay, Jessica and Danny both sent in this next one. Okay, it doesn't say where it's from. Is this like a Craigslist ad or something? Maybe. I don't know. It says, moose, number one, will not stay in fences, including but not limited to hot wire, barbed wire, no climb, corral panels, stalls with Dutch doors or half walls. Number two, chases the horse trailer out of the driveway and into the street like a crazed farm dog. Plan on picking him up at mile marker 3.5 and leaving him tied in the trailer all day. See number one. He will not stay in fences. Number three, tags along on all rides. All rides. If you think he won't, see number one. Will not stay in fences. Does not tolerate sharing his space with others. Again, see number one. Moose is free. He was delivered to my doorstep long, long ago for a reason. Oh my God, Moose is the cutest little mini mule. Oh,
he is the cutest little mini mule, but apparently you don't want him at your house.
Well, he won't stay at your house anyway.
Yeah, he'll be at the neighbor's house and you won't have to worry about him. Maybe they'll feed him. He is cute as a dickens, though.
Oh my gosh, adorable.
Heather sent this one in. Grade yearling colt. Dad registered. Mom is not. He is friendly, not halter broke, dewormed in April. Believe testicles are down.
Well, that's I believe.
can double check tomorrow. Couldn't do it before I wrote the ad. I have to look at that tomorrow. We have 17 yearlings. We don't need that many. $1,000.
Why are you breeding?
North Dakota.
Grade yearling colt. Oh my God, Gail, that it.
Anyway, that's a lot of colts.
But you do know how this happens, right? How you get 17 grade yearlings is you have 17 broodmares that are breeding at least one thing that is...
Oh, he's kind of cute, though. I have to say, looking at the picture, he's kind of cute.
Everything's cute.
I know. Everything's cute today.
Kelly sent this one in.
Oh not so cute.
Goodness, not so cute. Okay, this is... I swear I used to own this one. It's a horse box, but like one of those trucks that has the horse trailer attached to it. Like, it's like a moving van for horses.
It's a Europe
right?
thing. Yeah, a lot of them in Europe have it like this. It's like you're right. It looks like a great big blue blob moving van.
Man, it's a 1990 Reliant horse box, and it says free to collect if you can get it out of our yard. The engine is gone.
Bring a chainsaw because it's buried in the trees.
It is buried in the trees.
You're going to need a chainsaw to get this out of the yard. And wow. A very big tow truck. It's not a small horse box.
It's huge.
Probably 35 feet long. And it apparently doesn't have a motor. So that's going to add to the complication a bit.
Chainsaws and a big tow truck.
Yep. Yep. Do you think they got rid of it? I think scrap metal maybe would be good for that. Christy sent this one in. The gated horse. This must be on Facebook. We have four coming 5-year-old stud. Selling him not to be broke. Fat and gentle. Easy to handle. Location in Olive Hill, Kentucky. Okay. Price is $2,200. Jamie, can you please look at the picture and tell me what this horse is not? The ad says fat and gentle.
No, he's like, I was trying to figure out, is that picture? And my show notes, is the picture not of the ad?
Nope, that was the ad. So this horse is not fat. Every rib in his body is sticking out.
You can see every rib.
It's not fat. Might be gentle because it's not being fed, but it's certainly not fat.
How about we geld it and feed it? Call me crazy.
There's a theme today. There's a theme. $2,200, and you're going to need about $5,000 in groceries to get there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Scott hadn't sent one in a long time. He was busy having family and everything, so he did send one.
Hey, this is Scott from Virginia with a really bad ad for an extraordinarily sturdy desk from Facebook. It's titled, The Last Desk You'll Ever Need, because it will outlive you. Free. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you the This End Up Vintage Wooden Desk, a piece of furniture so sturdy, I'm pretty sure it's been classified as a load-bearing structure. Tired of cheap, wobbly desks that collapse when you look at them the wrong way? This bad boy has survived decades of abuse, homework meltdowns, office drudgery, and possibly a minor earthquake. It's not just a desk. It's a family heirloom in the making. Key features. Built like a brick house. You could stage WWE matches on this thing. It wouldn't even flinch. Timeless design. Because let's be honest, wood never goes out of style. Doubles as a panic room. Just crawl under it and wait for civilization to rebuild. Environmentally friendly, because you'll never need another desk. Ever. Free. That's right, you can own this indestructible masterpiece for the low price of $0. Why am I giving away this indestructible wonder? Because I can't move it, my friends refuse to help, and my chiropractor strongly advises against me trying. Pick up only. Bring a truck, a friend, and a will to live. No delivery, no exceptions. You will need at least two people, a hand truck, and a strong sense of purpose to get this thing out of my life. Message me if you're ready to own the last desk you'll ever need, or, more accurately, the last desk you'll ever be able to move.
Thank you, Scott. This is why people don't buy big, heavy furniture anymore.
See, this is so reminiscent of what happened when my father-in-law retired. He was a financial planner and had one of those giant solid desks. And so we moved it into our house for me to use. And it took like five people to get this thing upstairs.
And you're never moving it again. It's going with the house.
Well, I was like, I wanted to remember how you could hear everything in my house. So I moved my office to like one of the back bedrooms and I could not get the desk through the door. We ended up having to take it out and throw it out the window, like piece by piece. Oh, no. Because
that's
we couldn't move.
We don't have heavy furniture anymore.
Exactly.
That's funny. Let me see here. Carrie sent the next one.
Okay. Let's see. Oh, this is on the Facebook page, Horses for Sale in New England. I have a Belgian draft horse for sale. Seriously, how can you read this and not feel like you're a crazy person? Every single sentence has an exclamation point after it.
It's the only punctuation they could find on the.
I guess.
Yeah.
I have a Belgian draft horse for sale. 2 years old. Up to date on everything. He loves water. Not scared of anything at all. Pool noodles. And I haven't brought him by the road. But he is next to the road all day long. He stands at the mounting block. No problem with a bit in his mouth. I have rode him outside. He is good, but better inside. Loves food, treats, and can't forget his hay, period. Oh, so they're serious about the hay. Yeah. I did start ground driving him, but he needs more work and I don't have the stuff. So please share. He's very pushy and he will just bolt over top of you.
There's the butt.
Or if someone can help him pull and I don't need to sell. Asking 60. God, I'm exhausted. That was exhausting. I'm sorry. That was probably annoying to listen to, but it was more annoying to read.
$6,500 for a horse that will run your ass over and is not trained.
And it's a Belgian. It's ginormous. Like you are. Yeah. I bet he's not gelded. It's just par for the course today.
Yeah, that's probably true. He's cute. Diana sent this one in Chester County, near where I grew up. Anyone want to buy... Let me reread that. Anyone want to guy a cheap horse barrel halter broke to lead? He is 2 year old, 17 hands Belgian gelding sound. No pictures at this time. He is big, well built. He has long tail. PM me.
As long as he has a long tail.
Now maybe he's related to the Belgian above that will run your ass over. I don't know.
Oh, our last one is gonna. I found this one, and I'm gonna give them the benefit of the doubt that English is not their first language. But still, before you post things on an English speaking Facebook page, maybe have somebody who speaks English look it over. Okay. This is on a Facebook page. I don't know what it is because it's cut off. 3-year-old Arabic for sailor trade. No cap, no ride. Tender touched all over and very well branched with passport plus cover certificate. 1.45 to the cross. Good show and raid genetics. R-A-I-D. I don't know what that means. $1,800 negotiable. Also for sale, Black Colt Cross no chip or chip at weaning parents 145 and 153, not branched yet. $500. With papers, the price changes.
Of course it does. No, you know, cat, I didn't understand most of what you said in that ad, to be honest.
I don't know what's for sale.
I don't either. I don't know what most of those words mean. Maybe it didn't translate well.
I don't know. I guess not. But again, look it over, people. Run it through AI. They'll let you know.
Well, that's it for today. If you want to send ads in, send them to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Thank you, everybody who submitted their ads. Jamie now has to go to work. They're putting them
Yeah, over. It's actually going to be awesome today. So we start at 1 o'clock, and it starts with, I'm going to go in the round pen with a 2-year-old thoroughbred mare and see how far we can get her through the weekend with starting under saddle and see if we can get a rider on her.
That's different for a thoroughbred instead of a Mustang or a quarter horse or whatever.
I know. Yeah. She's just a privately owned 2-year-old thoroughbred mare, apparently very sweet and should be a great demo for everybody. And then, so Monty and I are doing that one. So I'll be in the round pen. Monty will be on the wall telling me what to do, even though I don't know, have to be told what to do, but it's fine. I love it. Give me all day. I'll take it all day. So then after that, Manjeev, who's another instructor, and I are going to go into the gentling pen with some wild horses. So that'll be fun. Basically the same thing every day for, you know, just get to watch and see how far we can get in 3 days with wild horses and an unstarted horse. So it should be fun. And then tonight is the comedy show with Maxie Wittrick.
Oh, yeah. Say hi to her for me.
Yeah. So it'll be really fun. Wine and cheese. I think they've got a harpist, some musicians, and Maxie. That'll be fun.
That'll be fun to meet her. I think you're gonna enjoy her a lot. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us. Have a safe weekend. Be careful out there. Weather's weird right now. So, and Jamie, we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Love you guys. Pay me your gals. Bye.